Thank you all for sharing. And I would like to introduce you to Jackie Connerly, who, among many things, is a co-pastor of the work that's happening in Southeast Washington. And Jackie, we've come knowing you were going to bring our teaching, and we're very pleased to welcome you. And so come on and share with us, if you would.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, so we will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. The Bible says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise ye the Lord. So thank you so much. It's a joy to be here with you guys. To fellowship, as Gail was saying, I come from Living Word Christian Ministries in Southeast D.C., as well as Recovery Cafe D.C., which I have the pleasure and the honor of co-pastoring with a magnificent man who is not only anointed, but he is so godly handsome. My husband, Pastor Donald Connerly. Thank you. Appreciate it. You can stand up. You can stand up, Donald. Stand up. Amen. Amen. And I am actually a little bit in shock, so I'm going to ask that you guys bear with me a little bit. I walked in this morning, and I looked over, and I actually see my big brother in the audience. And so my brother, Michael Murphy, would you stand up? Such an honor. I mean, my heart is full. I'm going to try not to cry, but it really means a lot that he's here. God is amazing. He's brought not only him, me, many of our family, just a mighty long way. So I am grateful on this morning. Amen. So just a moment for prayer, if you don't mind. I just want to pray before I go ahead and kick off. Father, we do bless and exalt you, and we thank you for this time together. Now I ask, Lord God, that you would anoint me to give the word that you have given me, God. Father, that it will go forth with clarity, O God. Lord, that every heart of God would be ready to receive the seed of your word, God, and that it will create, O God, a harvest of righteousness in our life, Father. I thank you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So if I had to give a title for today's teaching, it's just simply a new beginning. How many of us like that, the sound of that? A new beginning. Yeah. Amen. Ray. Amen. And, you know, if there's one thing, I'm about to, time goes so fast. I'm about to turn 58 in October. And, young. But there's one thing that I've come to realize in life. And that is that life is absolutely unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. And what I'm learning is that it only takes a split second, a moment of time, a blink of the eye, a twinkling of the eye. It only takes a moment for the course of your entire life to be changed. One word, Alzheimer. One word, dementia. One word, HIV positive. Okay, that's two words. All right? Sharon. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Hey, Judy. The course of your entire life being changed in an instant. And the Bible tells us what? That life is like a vapor. It's like a vapor. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians. Listen, there are so many voices in the world, so many voices out there. And it's so important for us as Christians to decide to choose to listen to which voice, or shall I say, whose voice? Amen? Are you with me? So we're living in a time where what was once considered wrong is now considered right. What was once considered right is now considered wrong. And so I want you to take a spiritual paperclip and just kind of put it right there and hold your thought right there, okay? because I want to share a little story real quick. So I was in the kitchen, well, I was in my office at home, and I was walking into the kitchen, and as I approached the kitchen, I could see on the counter a glass of water. It had a spoon in it. I didn't think of anything. Well, actually, I did. I thought to myself, Donald left that on the daggone counter, right? But I guess the truth of the matter is I probably left it there. But anyway, as I was approaching the counter, I could see the glass of water with the spoon in it. And for some reason, the spoon looked distorted. It looked like it was crooked, right? So what I realized is that the light that was coming through the window was coming through the glass and through the water, and it was causing the spoon to look distorted. Took me back to my old days of science fair project and the word refraction. Anybody familiar with the word refraction? Right? And so refraction is just simply when the light hits something that's immersed in water, and what it does, it creates a distortion or a refraction. So the spoon wasn't bent, but it appeared to be distorted and bent because of the environment that it was in, the water. And so I submit to you today, when I look around this room, some people I know, some I don't. Some of your stories I know, and some I don't. But I would submit that we are all from different backgrounds. We are all from different environments. Some may be from an environment where you were told, or your narrative could have been, you will never amount to anything. Perhaps your narrative was, you're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not thin enough. You're not tall enough. You come from a narrative or an environment that gives a distorted or a bent look at you and at your life. But I thank God for a new beginning. Say a new beginning. Listen, we live in a world that creates refraction. It's a refraction of the reality. Because as Christians, we have to understand that we are living in two kingdoms, two realms, two worlds at the same time. We have the visible, right, which is here in this natural kingdom, and we have the invisible, the spiritual, right, where the kingdom of God is at. And so we have to choose as Christians which voice we're going to listen to and which kingdom we're going to operate in. Are you with me? All right. And so we live in this world that creates such refractions or such distortions that it can take something that is crooked and turn it so much that it appears to be straight. And it can take something straight and turn it so much that it appears to be crooked. And that's refracting reality. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, it says that in the last days, it says that even the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. I'm talking about refraction. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about distortion. I'm talking about us as Christians. Which voice are we going to listen to, and out of which kingdom are we going to respond? Amen? So it says, even the very elect can be deceived. And so in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes, he says, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So he's saying, don't be conformed or fashioned after or fit into this world system, this cosmos, this way of living, the world's flow, right? Don't fit into that. As Christians, he said, we got to be transformed. We got to be changed from the inside out. But no transformation comes without the renewing of the mind. And the renewing of the mind for us as Christians comes out of the Word of God. Amen? So here's what's so awesome about this. I love the word transformation. It comes from a Greek word, metamorpho, which comes, we get the English word, what? Metamorphosis. And what I love about this is I think about a butterfly. Anybody who knows me knows that I love butterflies because a butterfly represents me and represents my life. So the butterfly starts as what? A caterpillar. There is something that is instinctively inside a caterpillar that at a particular time in its life, it will crawl its little self up some tree and get on some limb or some branch, and it'll begin to cocoon itself off away from this physical world here that we see. And then something miraculous, something divine goes on inside that cocoon. So much so that once that cocoon begins to break open, there's not a caterpillar that comes out of that cocoon. What comes out of the cocoon? A butterfly. So that is a transformation. That is a total change of nature. It is a brand new creature. And so when we take the Word of God and we renew our minds by the Word of God, a transformation, we become new creations. Amen? New creations. We have a new beginning. And so I'm so blessed by that, because here's the truth of the matter. If I wasn't smart enough, if I wasn't thin enough, if I wasn't pretty enough, if I had low self-esteem, if I battled with depression, if I battled with anxiety, whatever it is in my past that the enemy could use to hold me, to cause me to be stuck, to be paralyzed, and not to move forward in my life, in my emotions, in my thought life, in my thinking, whatever it is that he tried to use, because in Christ we are new creatures. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that the old has gone. It's passed away. And behold, take look and notice, all things become new. Amen? So in spite of everything that the enemy will try to throw against us in our thoughts, we develop our thoughts properly. We line them up with the Word of God and what God says. So in spite of what anything anybody else says, what God says is true for us. The truth is what God says. The truth is that we believe that God is telling the truth when he tells us something in his word. So I don't have to waver. I don't have to wonder. All I have to do what? Is go to his word and get his view on the matter. So Thursday night, my husband and I were at Bread of Life. Hey, Gene. I love Jeannie Marcus. But we were at Bread of Life, and we had the opportunity to listen to a sermon by Gordon. And in this sermon, Gordon came from John chapter 15, which talked about the branches, it talked about the vine, and it talked about the fruit. And an important part of that was talking about the abiding. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask whatever you will and it shall be given unto you. I'm not even concerned about the asking, because if I'm abiding in him, then there's no conflict with my asking. So I'm not concerned about that. But what gets me is the abiding in, the living in, the residing in, to being one with, to being in harmony with. When I'm in line with his word, oh my God, can you imagine? Matter of fact, this year in June went to 8 years that my husband and I celebrated our 8th year anniversary. Around him, oh, praise God, praise God for that. So who you become, my point is, who you hang around, those you hang around, you become like. I find myself, I'm not even from Louisiana, and I find myself talking and using words that they use, and because what? I'm around him all the time. So imagine us abiding in Christ, and Christ abiding in us. And we're communicating with him, and we're loving him, and we're in relationship with him, and just all that, we become like him, right? That's the blessing of it, amen? And so as he began to talk about that abiding, and he talked about how that branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In and of ourselves, we don't have the power to change our life. I don't know about you, but if I did, I would have done it, right? How many of you all got the power to change your own life? I'm just curious. Anybody? Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure I'm with the right crowd. That's all right. Right? But by abiding in him, now Christ, now Jesus, now the word has come alive in me. And the things that I could not do on my own, Christ is now activated in me. The word has activated me. It's alive. And it's empowered me to be able to do the things that I could not do for myself. That's the blessing of the new beginning. Amen? Amen. And so let me go to Genesis chapter 12 right quick. Genesis chapter 12, and I'm just going to read one verse, which is verse 1. And this is a familiar story probably to people because it's about Abraham, or actually Abram, because his name hadn't changed at that point. So verses 1 through 4, I want to read this, and it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you." He didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, get away from that which you're familiar with, and I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. Verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and I will show you." He says, "I will bless you, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." The first thing that he told Abram, he said, get out of your country. We have to be willing. You must be with me over there, me. Uh-huh. He said, get out of your country. We have to be willing. Those things that we're familiar with, the things that we're comfortable with, the mindsets that we are used to, the prejudices, the preconceived ideas and notions that we have about other people because they look different than us, because they're of a different economic background, maybe because they have a disability, whatever the case may be, those things that we are familiar with, the cultures, the thought patterns, he said, you got to get out of those things. You got to get away from those things. There's no way that he is able to show us something new if we're not willing to let go that which is old. Amen? And so I think about, well, I don't want to go into that story because my husband may not necessarily want me to share that. So tell it, right? So he said to Abraham to get out of that country. And he wanted to be able to get him out of what he was familiar with and then to give him a new perspective, to give him a vision of where his life intended to go. And that's the same thing that happens with us. When we get the word in us and it begins to give us a picture or a vision of our life and where it is that God wants us to go, what it is that he has intended for our life. And I don't know about you all, but I guess my family's been around Church of the Savior. I'd say I'm 58, I think, when I was 4. So that's about 54 years, probably a little longer because, you know, Michael's been hanging out with you guys just a little bit longer than that with Gordon. But never in a million years would I think that I would be married. First of all, let me just tell you this real quick about Pastor Donna, only because it's relevant to what I'm going to say. One thing that I say about him is that I don't know anyone who can beat him at loving God's people. Nobody. This man, when we were in Louisiana and New Orleans last week, he was going, he was looking for old classmates that told him there were other classmates who were out on drug and told him what areas to go find them. So we're driving around in the car and he's going and finding these people and ministering to these people, talking to them about getting in the program and all of this stuff. I never in a million years thought that I would be in this community, that I would be a part of what God is doing in this community. Where 8 years ago, Donald sat down, well, actually, we sat down with Gordon, and I remember Donald telling him, I want to take what you guys have over in Adams Morgan, and I want to bring it to Southeast. He said, I want to do a Potter's House Southeast. I want to take what y'all got over there. And lo and behold, this is what, 2008. So lo and behold, what, 10 years later, 11 years later? Well, we started last year. 10 years later, we have Recovery Cafe DC in Southeast. So my point is this. You never know the direction you thought you were going to go for your life. By being in relationship and connected to God and connected to his word, he gives you a picture of where he intends for your life to go. And when you look around, you say, oh my God, I never in a million years thought I would be here. And that's where I am this morning as I stand here before you. And so I just want to say one more thing. Let me just hit Acts chapter 2 right quick, because it talks about technically on the Christian calendar, I know we're long in Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like that of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not only was the time of Pentecost, not only was it a coming or a season of the Holy Spirit coming, but it was also a season of new beginnings for the Christian, because now the Holy Spirit is coming, and he's coming, and he's living within us. So now we're living in a new season of power because of what it is that we have inside of us. Amen? And so it's just my prayer today for everyone who is here, that you be encouraged and know that no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, it doesn't even matter, because in Christ, we're all new creations and we have a new beginning. Amen? So whatever was in your past that was wrong, it don't matter. In Christ, we're new creatures. And so I just want to encourage you that on that today, let you know that God is a God of new beginnings. And with that, I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. This is my prayer. Amen.